As you may know, Thursday was Veterans Day. And so in recognition of that fact, I want us to think about spiritual veterans today. Are you a spiritual veteran? A veteran, of course, is someone who has been in the military. And, of course, we have like the VFW, which are Veterans of Foreign Wars. They're the ones that serve during wartime, not during peacetime. And then we have veterans who may not have ever fought, but they were in the military for a certain period of time, maybe even made a career of it. And there are a lot of veterans in the United States, a lot of people who have done that. They've put their service to their country ahead of some of their own desires. Sometimes, of course, they've taken advantage of some of the things that are offered because of that service, college tuition and some of those kinds of things. But I want us to think about a spiritual army. And not the kind of army that goes around killing people, but a different kind of army. An army that goes around saving people. That's the kind of army God calls us to. I want us to notice the scripture reading that was read. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to notice this section one more time and then we'll move on from it. Second Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse number 2. Paul says, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled." I want us to notice a few things in that passage that are going to define some of our warfare, some of the wars that we're going to engage in. We want to notice that there are different types of warfare that we'll be involved in. We'll have internal war. We'll have those struggles within ourselves. He speaks of bringing every thought into captivity. That's a difficult thing to do. But we have to constantly, if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be faithful to God, if we're going to be followers of Him, we have to constantly be at war against evil thoughts. Because they're constantly there at war against us. In fact, James 4:1 says, "For whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? Even of your lusts that war in your members." Your own desires, your own sinful thoughts cause war not only within yourself, but if you allow them to have control, they will cause you to be at war with others. And so James warns us, you've got to watch out for those things, because that's where a lot of your problems between you and other people come from, is from your own sinful thoughts and desires. Because you didn't keep yourself in check. You didn't have self-control. You didn't win that internal battle, and so it spills out. You know, sometimes a country has an internal conflict or a civil war. And sometimes that civil war will spill out from inside that country into the countries around it, into other countries in the world. That happens quite often. Other countries become involved in what was a civil war, was an internal conflict. Because they start, you know, they start getting, picking sides, and then they get involved, and there's a big war going on. Well, the same thing can happen with us. If we don't take care of our internal battles, then those battles are going to spill out, and they're going to affect the people around us. So first and foremost, as a warrior, as a veteran of battle, we've got to recognize the danger of the battle within. And we've got to win that battle. Now, I know we're not going to win it every single time. But we've got to win more than we lose if we want to win the war. Now, you can't expect that you're going to just let things be however they are and let things go. And, well, I'll say whatever I think and I'll do whatever I want and all these kinds of things and then think we're going to win the war against Satan. It's not going to work like that. If you can't control yourself, if you can't win that battle inwardly on a regular basis, and again, that doesn't mean we are perfect or that we never have an evil thought or that we never do something we shouldn't, because we all do fall short of the goal. Every army has that problem. As powerful as the American Army is with all of the tools at its disposal, there are still some times that they go into battle and they may lose a skirmish here or there. They may lose a battle from time to time. Sometimes the enemy had a surprise advantage or some other thing. They weren't watchful enough. They weren't prepared. They were at ease and the enemy got them. Well, the same thing happens with us. Sometimes Satan will catch us by surprise when we're unaware, when we're least expecting it, and he'll get us sometimes. But we can't let that be a regular occurrence. That should be a rarity, not the normal course of events. As we think about this as well, I want to mention 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Because Peter, to some degree, echoes the thoughts that James had. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." You want to save your soul? One of the number one things you've got to defeat are fleshly lusts. Sometimes in the church, we spend a lot of time focusing on doctrine, on the teachings of the Bible. And that's important. We need to know those things. Sometimes we spend a lot of time dealing with the organization and the worship of the church and what is and isn't authorized in Scripture, and that's good, that's okay. But in doing those two things, we need to be careful that we don't neglect this other aspect of Christianity that's so essential to our salvation. And that is these fleshly lusts that are warring against our soul. You know, Satan will get a lot of people who worshiped right and taught the right thing and even they even gave right and they believed the right thing on different Bible topics, but they weren't living right. Satan's going to win a lot of victories like that. And especially if we neglect that area. We need to be careful. We need to beware because Satan is out there. And he uses all of these tools, and especially he uses us against ourselves. We're our own worst enemies most of the time. When we wake up in the morning and we look in the mirror, we're looking at the biggest battle that we have every day. Conquering that person in the mirror. That flesh and blood, flesh and bone, human side of us that has all of these desires, we've got to conquer that every day. Paul talks about how he buffeted his body daily to keep it in subjection. Because the body is not the thing that's interested in pleasing God. The body's only interested in its own needs. The body only cares about, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, I have a sexual desire, I have this desire or that desire, I'm tired. That's all the body cares about. The soul, our spirit, has to conquer the flesh. The spiritual aspect of us has to be stronger if we're going to win that battle and be with the Lord eternally. And so we have to watch out for that. And of course, we mention here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he talks about the fact that we do not war after the flesh. If we think that, here's a brother or sister that's committing a sin, so we're going to go just beat them up till they decide to do right. No, that's not going to work. Well, here's a brother or sister that's just living a life of sin. We're going to execute them if they don't straighten up. No, that's not what the Bible teaches us either. That's what physically people do in war, but not in spiritual war. Now, we may have to quarantine ourselves from a particular individual because of their sin. We may have to protect ourselves in that way, to protect ourselves spiritually from them. But we're not warring after the flesh. And our weapons are not physical, carnal, earthly weapons. You know, we go around day in and day out, and we're not wearing swords or guns or have armor on or any of those things. Not physically, but spiritually, we need not ever get up out of the bed in the morning when we wake up without having that armor on and the sword strapped on. From a spiritual standpoint, you don't go unprepared. We are living constantly in a spiritual war zone. Now, we're accustomed in the United States to feeling pretty safe most of the time. This is a fairly safe place to be. Oh, I know that there are people that get killed in one way or another. There are murderers out there, and there are rapists, and there are kidnappers and those things. But most of the time, we feel like we can walk around, we can go to the store, and we don't feel like we're in danger. But spiritually, we've got to recognize that every second of every day we're in danger. Because Satan, the thing about Satan is, he doesn't let you know when he's coming. Now, I think back to the Revolutionary War in this country. In that war, the British soldiers primarily lost that war because of their way of fighting. They came marching down the road in uniforms that were bright red, with in their ranks, and just bounding a drum, letting you know they were coming, playing the fife, and just marching along while the Americans, who some would say were the first to use terrorist-type guerrilla tactics, would hide in the bushes and wait for them to get close enough to shoot on them. Well, in the same way, Satan is not going to announce his coming like the British Army did. He's going to use the kind of terrorist tactics that the extremist Islamic people that are at war with the United States right now are using. You never know when they're coming. You never know when they're going to strike or how. And that's the kind of thing Satan does. He's sneaky. He's sly. And he knows that he can never defeat God and his people if he confronts them head on, because God is stronger. And so what he does is he sneaks around the edge of the bushes and he waits till somebody gets close enough and he reaches out and snags us one by one. He'll sneak up behind us and stab us in the back. He'll slip up behind us and slit our throat. You know, he will come up as a friend and then stab you in the gut. Joab did that to Abner back in 2 Samuel. He came up to him like he was a friend and then just stabbed him in the gut and slit him open. The devil will do that kind of thing to you too. Well, not physically again. We're talking about spiritual things. But we've got to remember that we are fighting against a mighty enemy. He is not as strong as God, who is on our side. But he is stronger than we are individually. And when you're fighting an enemy that's stronger than you, you need to think about a couple of things. One is, you need to be sure you're prepared. Two is, you need to have numbers on your side. You don't need to go up alone against someone that's more powerful than you are. And then you have to think about, strategize, have a plan, be prepared. But you can win that battle if you'll do those things. Many times throughout the New Testament, there's talk of a war and warfare. Probably the book that talks about it the most is the book of Revelation. There are about 10 different references to wars and battles in the book of Revelation, because Revelation paints that picture of the spiritual realm. It shows the great dragon, the devil, out there trying to destroy the woman's child, the church. Trying to do everything to destroy it. And overcoming some. But then toward the end, in chapter 19, it shows the white horse riding with the rider on it, the one who's called Faithful and True. And he, in righteousness, judges and makes war. And that's Jesus. He conquers. He overcomes. There are going to be those who will make war with us. Spiritually and even physically, some people will try to make war with us. We have to constantly remember, when someone does use physical means, that we're not fighting a physical war. And if we retaliate, if we meet them on that physical plane, and we fight the battle on the physical plane, we've lost the spiritual war. As Christians, we're not here to retaliate and get our revenge and have vengeance on those that are doing us wrong. That's not what we're all about. We lose the spiritual war when we lower ourselves to those standards. People pick on us, mistreat us. You look at the early church. Stephen here, they're about to stone him. He didn't pull out his sword and try to attack them. He took the physical death in order to win the spiritual war. That's a challenge to us. But we have to remember that if we're going to be veterans, we're going to have to win the war in the spiritual realm, not the physical realm. Paul talks to Timothy. He says that he has given Timothy a charge in 1 Timothy 1:18, that you might fight, war the good warfare. You've got to war the good warfare. He says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't give up. Hang on. Keep fighting. And you know, it's an amazing thing. In every war, in every battle, there are some things that occur. Whichever side is victorious, there are some soldiers who fall. There are some who fall with injuries and they survive. There are others who fall and they die. They don't make it through that battle. Now that's important, because from a spiritual standpoint, when we go to war with Satan and we battle against him, we've got to be prepared to understand that some of us will fall. Some of us will fall in some ways that are, where spiritually we're injured, we're damaged, we're harmed, but that we can survive it and keep living. But unfortunately, there are some who go into a battle with Satan who, spiritually speaking, don't come out alive. There are some that lose that battle and they lose their salvation. They lose their soul to him. They lose the life that they had in Christ. They give up and give in and give over to Satan. That's a terrible situation to be in. We need to be aware of that. We need to acknowledge that. And we need to be prepared. When someone is wounded, we need to do what we can to help them so that they don't become one of those casualties. We have another day, the other part of the year, in the spring of the year, called Memorial Day. And on that day, we remember those who have fallen, those who died in the wars. You know, it's a good thing to remember sometimes. Sometimes it's a painful thing, but it's still a good thing. We as Christians need to remember those who have fallen in the past, as well as remembering the veterans that have fought before us. You know, it's an amazing thing. At Veterans Day, of course, it really, a lot of times it focused on those veterans, of course, that are still living. There's one veteran from World War I still alive. He's 109 years old. He was 16, lied about his age to get into the Army back in World War I. He's still alive, one of them. But there aren't any left from the Civil War or the Revolutionary War or any of the other wars on back through there. But what we have to realize is we're all here because of those veterans that have come before us. We're in the Lord's army, and the kids love to sing that song, "I'm in the Lord's army." We're in the Lord's army because of the veterans that came before us. Because if Satan had his way, the Lord wouldn't have an army anymore. So we need to remember that. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. That's part of Veterans Day, part of Memorial Day as well, is remembering the past, remembering those who have gone before us. Hebrews 10:32, the Hebrew writer says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions." We're going to face great fights. We're going to face war. But are we going to make it through? Or are we going to be a casualty? You know, it's an amazing thing. In this world, there are hundreds of countries. There are thousands of differing political parties and views throughout this world. But in the spiritual realm, there are only two. There's the Lord's side and the devil's side. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, if you're not a member of the Lord's army, if you're not part of His family and part of His kingdom, then that only leaves one side for you to be on. And that's Satan's side, the devil's side. You're on his army. There is no Switzerland in the spiritual realm. There is no neutrality. You're either on one side or the other. You have to decide. If you're not a Christian, why not? What are you waiting for? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Why have you not acted on that belief? If you're still living in sin, why have you not repented of that sin? If you have not confessed Him as the Christ, why not do that today? Why not be baptized to wash your sins away? See, the amazing thing about it is you can go from the devil's army to the Lord's army. You can switch sides right then and there. You can be baptized, you can have your sins washed away, and all that form of life is gone. It's kind of like the French Foreign Legion. You leave your past at the door, and you come in and you're a new person. That old person is gone. No more. And then you can live a faithful life to God, battling on His side. Perhaps you're here and you have been part of the Lord's army. But perhaps you've been doing some undercover spy work for Satan. Perhaps you've been acting as a traitor. Strife and discontent. Treasonous activities. Well, you've got two choices. You can continue in that and be on the devil's side, or you can repent of that and get back on the Lord's side and do what the Lord wants you to do.
If you're here today and you need to respond for any reason, we ask that you would come as we stand and as we sing.